following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right, Refuge family, visitors, welcome to our fireside chat for today. It's Thursday, it's the 23rd of April, and we are obviously in our second month of this COVID-19 crisis, and that's the Fireside Chats, here to encourage you and bless you on weekdays, Monday through Friday, 12 o'clock to 12:15. Tomorrow, being Friday, will be communion with Pastor Bill and Joy. All Fridays will always have communion as part of it, so just a heads up for you to have your elements ready, have the bread and the cup ready for that. But today is our chat. Also today, our governor is going to have his own chat here in a matter of minutes, maybe about the time I wrap up. He'll have his chat with the latest steps that he feels we need to follow through with as a state. And then also, for the NFL fans, today is the draft, the NFL draft. So we should pray, not for the draft, but for our governor, and then we'll jump into our chat, our word for today. So pray with me if you would, please. Well, Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Lord, it's timeless. The examples, perhaps, are at certain periods of time, but Lord, because it's your word, it's beyond the realm of time, and so it speaks to us today. And Father, I pray that we that are tuning in, both live and perhaps subsequent to this, as folks might watch these at a latter date, Lord, that they'd be encouraged. Father, we pray as well for our governor, Lord, for wisdom. He's got a multitude of counselors about him, and not sure all of them would be the best source, but Lord, I know you are, and so, Father, I pray that somehow your wisdom would get through to him as the leader of our state. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. All right, well, thank you for praying. One of my favorite Old Testament passages comes from 2 Chronicles, specifically 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. Great story. I always thought it would make a great movie. But Chronicles, the book of Chronicles in our Old Testament Bibles, they chronicle the lives of the kings of the southern kingdom of Israel. So at this point in time, Israel, sadly, as a nation, was split into two kingdoms. And so the northern kingdom, referred to as Israel, they got the good name, I guess. And then the southern kingdom, who seemed to have a better pattern of walking with the Lord, intermittently, yes, but certainly more so than the northern kingdom, they were referred to as Judah, the kingdom of Judah. So this passage is about King Asa, and he was one of the kings of Judah. So 2 Chronicles chapter 14, if you want to join me in reading this, I will read just the first 12 verses of chapter 14. So Abijah, he rested with his fathers. He was the king prior to Asa. They buried him in the city of David, and then Asa, his son, reigned in his place. Now in his days, the land was quiet for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord, for he removed the altars of the foreign gods and the high places and broke down the sacred pillars and cut down the wooden images. And he commanded Judah, the kingdom of Judah, to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to observe the law and the commandment. And needing to do this, because that was not what was happening prior to this. And he also removed the high places of pagan worship and the incense altars from all the cities of Judah. Sad that they were there, but they did exist. And the kingdom was quiet under him, under King Asa. Verse 6 says that he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest, and he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. And therefore he said, the king said to Judah, let's build these cities and make walls around them, towers and gates and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, and we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built, and they prospered. Verse 8, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from the tribe of Benjamin, and those two tribes made up the kingdom of Judah. from the tribe of Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. And all these were mighty men of valor. But then, verse 9 tells us that Zerah, the Ethiopian, he came out against them, against Judah, with an army of 1,000,000 men. And here's the kicker, 300 chariots he came at them with. Now, chariots in that day would be perhaps the equivalent of a tank, of a military motorized tank. And Judah had none of those, zero. This king had 300 charioteers. And so Asa, it says in verse 10, he went out against him and set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah. And then Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord God, for we rest on you." I love that. We rest on you. "And in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So the result in what we read in the next chapter, chapter 13, we find that with the plunder from the victory and spoils of war, they made humongous donation to the temple. There was 35 years of peace. At this, the first 35 years of his reign, and the people had a renewed commitment to get back to the worship of God. And King Asa made some hard decisions, you know, in removing those pagan worship places. Got a lot of pushback initially from that, and did the hard things. You know, his grandmother was just a full-on pagan worshiper, but she was like the queen mom, you know, the queen mum, And he even took steps and in fact, dethroned her from that role, that position that she would have. So that was a hard thing to do, and he did that. But then, subsequent to this, the northern kingdom, referred to as Israel, they began to flex their muscles, right? They're thinking, hey, these guys are just kind of relaxed down there in the southern kingdom of Judah. So flexing their muscles, and they invade their brothers in the south. They invade Judah. And at this time, you would think, as you read the story, maybe for the first time, you think, well, you know, certainly King Asa, he would do what he had done in the past, in those decades prior, and those big battles that they faced, and the outnumbered odds and all. And you think he would do that. He would do his due diligence like he used to, right? You know, building his defenses and all, but trust the Lord. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't. Asa didn't do that. Instead, we read that at this point in time, again, 35 years have passed since he became the king. What he did instead of what he did in the past is he took money that he was donated to the temple, took that money, and then bought help from a known enemy of Israel, Syria. And ask Syria, here, we're going to pay you, and you step in, and you protect us, and you go toe to toe with Israel if they the northern kingdom if they make a move. And so, you know, with that, the Lord had to step in and speak to King Asa after he made that decision. So I'm going to read to you. We'll pick up in chapter 16 of the story, and in chapter 16, in verse 7, I'll pick up at verse 7. So Hanani, he was a prophet, he came to the king of Judah, Asa, and he said to him, "Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand." This is an avowed enemy of yours. And so the prophet goes on to say, were the Ethiopians and the Lubim, were they not a huge army? And with very many chariots and horsemen? And yet, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord, great verse here, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this, you've done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. Well, then Asa, he was angry with the prophet, and he put him in prison. for he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time, so kind of lashed out, and not only the prophet, who was just speaking the word of the Lord to him, but even to his own people. So very, very sad account there. But that verse that I said that kind of jumps out, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, as the prophet said to Asa, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, just looking to show himself strong and mighty on behalf of those who would basically put their trust in him. It's a foundational verse. As a matter of fact, we have that etched in the courtyard in the front of the church. I'll have to check that out when we get back together. We have various verses that are etched into the concrete when all that was poured out in the courtyard. And so 2 Chronicles 16:9a, the first part of that, is one of those foundational verses. But the point I wanted to get to is the Lord is looking for those whose hearts, as some translations say, whose hearts are loyal towards him. And in the context of the story that I just read to you, it tells us that what that means, which is this, a proactive trust in the Lord. And then it tells us the reason why. So he can show himself strong for us on our behalf. And he wants to do that, which is very cool. But it's sad in some ways that he has to search out such that would put their trust in him. Now, today, I mentioned there's the NFL draft this afternoon. And there'll be some searching out for that, right? You have general managers searching out, and they've been searching for a while and thinking and pondering and planning and all, but they're searching out for that potential star, right? That young man from college that could step in and make a difference, if not now, in the next year or two. And they have to search that out, and that's understandable, right? Because you got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men to choose from, but only a few are really going to be those standouts, right? So the search is understandable there because the talent is limited. But here's the difference with the Lord and with his kids, with his people, with you, with me, God's kids. We all have the same Holy Spirit empowering us, right? We have the same Holy Spirit that enables us to do all things through Christ, right? There's no like, well, he's got this talent and she's got that talent, and that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And so we all have the ability to shine with peace at a time such as this. It's not limited to a few people. So the key here in this whole story in chapters 14 through 16 of 2 Chronicles is to proactively trust. And so that's the key here, for us to do our part, our due diligence, to then trust him for the outcome. So that's our part, is to do our due diligence, like Asa did in the examples of him, and then we trust him, like Asa did, for the outcome. And so when he did that, God defeated numerous odds, or innumerable odds, I should say, right, with a 2-to-1 in army, and then the chariots and such. And he, bottom line, he, the Lord, showed himself strong on their behalf. So my word of encouragement to myself, and to you, is to say, let's do that. Let's proactively trust, right? It's proactive because we have a part in it, but ultimately we're trusting the Lord for the outcome, but we have a part in it. We do our due diligence. So let's proactively trust him, and then never stop doing that, right? Because I think a lot of us are doing that now. You know, in the midst of this crisis mode, we're doing that, but later, when things settle back down, whatever they settle back down to, then the question is, will we then, at that point in time, will we go back to maybe old patterns? Not necessarily bad patterns per se, but just, you know, just not really being diligent, I guess. Or will we prepare ourselves spiritually, and even materially for that matter? So, you know, on the spiritual side, will we strengthen our relationships with the Lord first and foremost, and then with others? And maybe on the material side, will we, when this is all over, say, hey, how can we get out of debt? How can we build up, you know, an emergency fund? And so will we do that? And the sad thing is that King Asa, I'll finish up the story of him, he didn't do that. And so the last couple of verses of chapter 16 tell us that in the 39th year of his reign, Asa, he became diseased in his feet, and his malady, this whatever this sickness was, whatever this infirmity was, it was pretty severe. Yet in his disease, he didn't seek the Lord, but only the physicians. Only the physicians. And so it wasn't bad that he sought the physicians, but he didn't seek the Lord. Only sought the help of the physicians. And so he went on to die in his misery is really the bottom line there. So the story for me is just a good reminder that the eyes of the Lord, they do go to and fro throughout the whole earth, looking for those who would put their trust in him. And so I want the Lord to be able to do that for me and for you, to see us as he saw King Asa operate in those first 30 plus years, right? And for us to give the Lord the opportunity to show himself strong and mighty on our behalf, to show his strengthening power now, of course, and post-COVID-19 crisis. Amen? All right, well, let's pray. Father, thank you once again for your word. Lord, as we said earlier, it's timeless. Father, may it have its perfect work in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.